Good evening and welcome to the Spring Forest Qigong International Guild Leader Call, starring Qigong Master, Spring Forest Qigong Master Glenn Toby. Today is December 29th, 2016. And just before we do my introduction of Glenn, if you have questions, you can enter them in online. So any questions you have for Glenn, you can type them online, and he will answer as many as he can. Glenn Toby, he's the most amazing person, and I'm very honored and pleased to have him in my life. He's a Spring Forest Qigong master, and tonight he'll be speaking about the leadership, listening to the whispers. And Glenn, he does so many things. He has done so many things in his life, including helping people daily in so many ways just by being in the presence of others. He's just such a beautiful energy, a beautiful soul that you can't help but feel lifted up being around him. He has almost 40 years of experience in the human services field. It translates into a licensed, independent, clinical social worker. He has a private practice in Duluth, Minnesota. He runs many practice groups. He's a certified instructor for level 1 and 2 and a master healer. He's just an all-around good guy. So, Glenn, the call is yours.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for the very kind introduction. We move into this conversation, perhaps. I wish it was a kind of verbal back and forth that we could have a chat that way. But otherwise, I'll just visualize or imagine your ears or your hearts listening to some of my words, and then hopefully you can move with them in your own life or your own heart. This is the conclusion of this series I've done all year. This is part 6 of the 6. On the listening to whispers, you know, not hearing the screams, but moving toward the whispers as a primary. And so I'm going to move toward that today a little bit. Some of the information I share with you now, I presented some of these stories at the cancer retreat a couple of months ago, and wanted to kind of move a little more forward with some of the thinking or some of the ways in which I share that. And I'll do that, you know, mostly as it addresses activism today, as opposed to sitting still. You know, what is activism in the listening to whispers about? But before I do that, I've been thinking over the last period of time, few weeks or more, maybe it's that moving through December, kind of reflecting back on things. And as Jackie mentioned in my bio, you know, I work at, you know, primarily as a psychotherapist, so I've been working with lots of people, you know, day in, day out. I really enjoy the conversations I have with people. And so in the days off or on Christmas that I took to be with the family, I came back into my office on Tuesday morning. And I've been thinking a little bit about, you know, certain people's lives and thinking, you know, there's a few of these people that I've worked with, I don't really think I helped at all. You know, I couldn't see any movement or change. Whatever I thought or shared or tried didn't seem to, you know, nudge or budge, you know, the movement inside either an individual person or within a couple. So it's almost, you know, got to be thinking like, you know, these few people or so, more than few, I suppose, you know, kind of wasted their time with me or they wasted their money with me, and I really didn't help them. Well, when I came into my office Tuesday morning, a couple of days ago, you know, I went to my office mailbox and I had a number of Christmas cards. But 5 of those Christmas cards were from these people who I thought I didn't have any impact at all, say, within the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And each one of them had written, you know, thank you for so much for the impact you made, or thank you so much. You know, my wife and I decided after this time to move and then stay together, and we're really doing great. Thank you so much for helping me move into a pretty powerful and healthy job. I'm looking, you know, who are these people? So I say this story to you, this kind of a teaching story, that, you know, we may not see those the outcomes, or see the work that we do. A lot of times, as I'll talk today, it's about the presence you have in people's lives that really do make a difference, even sitting still and sitting quiet, maybe not coming up with that wise answer or that the solution to a problem. But a lot of times it's really about that respectful relationship, the connection you make with another, and the importance of that. So sometimes we get narrowly focused on one thing and fail to maybe see the larger scope. So in the next period of time, I'm going to work with you on these four what I call teaching stories. It's my favorite phrase. What I like about teaching stories is how can you take a situation in your own life, perhaps an experience, find a way that you're sharing it, not in the way that look what happened to me, but here's a teaching element to the story that can apply to others. And I know all of you really have both stories and experiences, but using them often, you know, to move away from focusing on yourself in a way, but focusing on what the experience can teach others. So I kind of start with my little favorite story of hitting your thumb with a hammer. You know, if any of you can remember or feel what that was like for you, how that intense pain in the thumb made you feel as if that's the only thing that existed. The pain in the thumb was the only thing that really was going on in your life at that very instant. You know, and really the focus then is just on that thumb and just on that pain, you know, rather than finding a way to expand, you know, that awareness of your life to say, yes, indeed, this is a pain. However, it really isn't my whole life, you know. And so we're going to move from that kind of image, maybe quickly, so to speak, you know, into this next thought. About 14 years or so ago, I had cancer, and I've mentioned that before to others. And the image I've used, you know, is, you know, not only did I kind of feel frightened and full of fear from the cancer diagnosis, but I felt like I was kind of imprisoned by it. And the image connected to that is I felt like there was a chain, you know, tied to a tree, you know, that came out with a shackles that reached around my ankle. And that was fastened by a lock, you know, that would open only by a key. So here I was feeling as if I had this diagnosis and I'm connected to, imprisoned by this chain and this lock. I'm looking for that one solution, so to speak, that one key that would unlock that lock and set me free. Is there one, you know, healing solution to the cancer? And so in an aggressive attempt to you know, change the world, make a difference in the world. You know, what do you do with a chain and a lock? You can go at it very aggressively. Let's smash it. Let's destroy it. Let's hate it. Let's figure out a way to break it. Let's do all sorts of things to damage, you know, that chain and that lock so that, you know, in one sense I can be freed or someone can be freed from whatever they think they're imprisoned by. But if you look at what a chain and lock is, it really is energy. It really is information. And so the information that the lock and the chain has is to stay hard, stay firm, do not budge, hold tight, do not let anybody in, so to speak, you know, guard what you're holding. So if there was a way, so in the Qigong, if there is a way then to change the information in that lock. And so in the quietness, in the stillness, to move your mind and move your heart inside that lock and change the information that you don't need to hold on. You don't need to hold things. This is not the time. There's no need. You can let go. You can go home, so to speak. You can just, you know, be proud of what you were asked to do, the purpose for your life as a lock, but to move on. You can fill that lock, so to speak, with different information. You are so beautiful. You are so full of love. is so beautiful. Higher and higher the information, the energy level rises. And I can just visualize the lock with that change of information, no needing to be so tightly bound and kind of falling apart, and the lock falling off and the shackle opening up. So in that image of a chain is that everything has energy and information that you can change. Remember what Einstein would say, you know, energy can't be created or destroyed, but it can be transformed. So if you think of all the words and the beliefs that you may have, they are also just energy and just information. So depending upon what kind of words you choose to have in your life, the beliefs you choose to have in your life, whether you wish to be imprisoned by them, such as a chain and a shackle and a lock, or whether you want to live with words, with beliefs that really create for you a higher level, a freer level of living. And so I'm going to toy a little bit with this idea of demons, you know, and healing. And so the idea of that being chained in is really that imbalanced energy in terms of the healing. But now if I'm going to move along a little bit on the teaching stories, just want to be aware of my time here. The second teaching story has come out of a work I've done, a workshop, a project I've been working on for 2 years called The Sacred Art of Living and Dying. But the image has been, say, finding myself sitting at the end of a hallway in an old folks' home, you know, sitting in a rocking chair and having a little quilt over my knees to keep me warm. And I kind of joke, you know, maybe my wife has either gotten smart and left me by then, you know, some of you know Katrina, or that she has passed on, or whatever the situation is in this story. Here I am at the end of the hall, and I'm beginning to think, you know, what's going to happen to me and my death. And so, you know, I don't want to be sitting there with any pain. So my thinking would all die, you know, next week or next year or 10 years or 30 years. It's like, how can I continue to do my Qigong so that my physical body is in the best possible shape it can ever be? So even when I get to that rocking chair at the end of the hall, you know, I'm not lingering on anything I really can't affect or control. Now, if I'm sitting there in that chair, thinking about all the stories in my life, you know, and some of them were healthy and some of them were really troublesome or bothersome, now I'm holding on to energy, almost as I'm self-inducing, you know, my heart to have a lock and a chain on them. So some of the questions about moving through, you know, at that point, it also came out of this study and this project, is most people near the end of life, what they talk about really is the love that they felt and the love that they gave. What they often talk about is a love they also did not receive, or the love that they did not know how to offer to others. Maybe the love they withheld, held back, or the love that they never felt, or they felt unwanted. Most people really talk about relationships and how they were loved, how they were not loved, what that love meant to them. So if I'm sitting in that rocking chair at the end, so to speak, I want to have my life cleansed so I'm not sitting there with some hatreds. I'm not sitting there with some biases. I'm not sitting there holding on to things that are like unhealthy, difficult to hold on to. Most people discover the meaning of life through the actions of love. And this is what I'm talking about a little bit in terms of the activism, using Spring Forest Qigong in the form of having an active involvement in the community. the third story. Oops, paper fell. It comes out of another story, a little bit made up. Names have been changed. So here I am in Duluth, Minnesota, northern Minnesota, about 150 miles north of Minneapolis. Just say I have my office is downtown, but say I'm walking downtown, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, and I walk past a bar with the door open. I look into the bar, and in the back of the bar, you know, in a booth, here sits my friend Tom. You know, and he waves, motions to me, come on in, Glenn, come on in, Glenn. And as I walk in, I realize that he has been there for a while and has been drinking certain liquids that's put him in a different state. So he says to me, come on, sit down, come on, have a drink or two or 12. He says, I've already had a lot, he says, you know. And the idea here is here's Tom in his pain and suffering. And what is my role? What is my task? And I can say to him, Tom, come on out. Let's go for a walk. Let's get a cup of coffee. Let's go to an AA meeting. Let's connect. And Tom says, no, I just want to stay here. Now it's my role to kind of lower my level of energy and to sit down and say, have a drink with him, to join him in his pain and suffering so he has company. Or is it my role to invite him up to a higher level of energy? And so what is your relationship to the pain and suffering of the world? Is it to lower yourself into some of the misery or some of the negative energy that's out there? Or is it to find some way to be in the midst of it, but not to lower your energy? And that's a hard balance. But if we are not in the midst of it, then our presence, our unconditional love, this level of energy that we have, will not have a chance to really connect with others and to be connective of many other things as well. So the idea of this reaching out to others is we need to be in the neighborhoods. You know, we need to be in terms of community involvement with others, by being in a presence with them. And what does that take for us to do that? It takes a sense of well-being. It takes a sense of confidence. It takes a sense of practicing. One of my favorite words is humility. And how I look at humility is that humility isn't being more than who you are. It isn't being less than who you are. It's really being who you are. Finding that genuine quality about yourself. So that when you're in situations in the community, you're not trying to make somebody else to be like you. You're just in the presence, putting your presence in the midst of others. So I want you to just think about that for a second. There's a lot going on in the world, of course. Where do you think you could put yourself in your community where you wouldn't have to be an expert? But where you could, like where there's a chain and a shackle and a lock, where your presence could help reframe or restate, put different information into what's going on, change the information, you change the belief, you change the lock, so to speak. So where is it in your community where perhaps people need to hear or want to hear another way, a different way of looking at the situations that befell themselves? How can they find a way in your presence, in your leadership skills for yourself or as you teach others, how can they move their energy into a higher level of energy and to be able to stay there. Now I'm going to do a few of the movements right now, and then we'll move into a kind of a meditation. But I would like, if some of you have a short story or a perspective on this idea of having a chain or a shackles or a lock around your life in one sense, or looking at community, our difficulties, and maybe either not a solution but a way of involving yourself, your presence, that changes the language, changes the information in either a word or in a belief, without trying to conquer or to kind of win your own way. Maybe you could send that in, or if indeed you have some other question related to other things, certainly. But in the meantime, I would like for us to do two of the five healing movements. So if you've been sitting down for this, or you're all comfy and have your blankie around you, and you're kind of in a meditative pose right now, you could certainly just stay there. And then you can do the movement certainly in the sitting position. But those of you that can move around or wish to move around, perhaps you can stand up. And then getting comfortable. Remember putting your legs, having your legs a little wider than your shoulders for your own sense of well-being. Some stability. Dropping the shoulders down to the floor. Remember how the shoulders are great for holding, you know, stress and holding fear. So the more often you can just hold those shoulders down or walk around, you know, every day without having the shoulders hunched, then you really are, you know, de-stressing yourself and not allowing fear to have much influence in your life. And using it only when indeed there's a circumstance maybe whereby the body needs to respond in a fearful or a protective manner. Bend the knees a little bit. Don't lock the knees so the energy flows better in the body. And close your eyes if you wish. You can move your mind from that kind of thinking mind, that evaluating mind, and move it to a noticing mind, just an observing mind. So in these two movements, if your mind moves back to that thinking, you know, that list-making mind, you know, just bring it back. No frustration. If it does it 20 times, you just bring it back 20 times. But now your legs are as wide as your shoulders, your knees are bent, shoulders are dropped to the floor. Slow your breath down. Your mind is kind of just observing what's going on, just noticing. And then let Master Lin's password, I am in the universe. The universe is in me. And I and the universe are one. To help guide you into that energy. And just noticing the energy. And then when you're comfortable, you're bringing that right hand to the upper part of the torso, palm facing the body. That left hand toward the bottom part of the torso, palm facing the body. The fingers are open. About 6 inches away are the hands, the palms. Slow the breath. Knees bent just a bit. And then when you're comfortable, moving that right hand out just a little bit and dropping it down. Moving that left hand up. So you're moving those hands in kind of an elliptical circle, letting the elbows guide the hands. So there's no tension in the hands. The hand that comes up is closer to the body. The hand that moves down is the one further away on that elliptical circle. Slowing the breath, perhaps you slow the movement of the hands. So finding a way, you're just moving these hands in that elliptical circle. Your mind can focus inside the body. Maybe you just notice a column of light along your spine. Maybe you're observing some tingling in the hands or inside the body, some other place. You notice color or some other sensation. Just notice. If your mind moves away to think, just bring it back to noticing. Remember, this movement is focused on the liver. And the energetic task of the liver is to help move on that anxiety, that anger energy. And a way also of doing that is to let the heart focus on this high energy emotion of happiness, and say in your heart, I feel happy. You don't have to prove it. You don't rate it or fix a percentage to it. You just say, I feel happy. And feel that high energy throughout your body. Almost as if you're scanning and bringing that happy energy down through the head, through the shoulders, feeling it in your chest. I feel happy. In the back, along the spine, I feel happy. Through the hips, into the thighs, I just feel happy. Through the knees, to the ankles, to the tips of the toes, the whole body. I just feel happy. And then I'll be quiet for about a minute. So just continue to move that body, feel that energy. Just notice. Just notice that presence you have. So what you're doing also with this movement is what I've been hinting at earlier in this presentation. How you're moving the language, the belief about anger or anxiety, changing that level of energy, changing the information in you from the information that anxiety and anger carries into the information that happiness carries. Really quite remarkable how you can stay in that higher level of energy just by saying it. As you know, it works that opposite way. The more I just say, I feel so anxious, I feel so angry, that works, doesn't it? I feel anxious and angry then. Powerful. So I'd much rather keep working knowing what it feels like to say, I feel happy. Then keeping your mind and your body quiet and still, moving your hands down to the lower dantian. Both palms are facing that lower dantian. For women, the right hand is in. For men, the left hand is in. The opposite hand is out. And then visualize a ball of light in your lower dantian. Take 3 slow, gentle, deep breaths. Just breathe out the body. Don't worry about the lungs. They'll do its thing. And then when you have done so, take a slow, gentle, deep breath. As you bend your knees and your elbows, guide your hands with open fingers out to the side, following your inhale. Then as you exhale, you follow your exhale back in. The hands come back in. The knees come to a standing position. Maybe the hands are holding like a volleyball-sized energy ball. But find your meditative rhythm here. Inhaling, bending the knees, elbows guiding the hands out to the side, following that inhale. So the slower the inhale, the deeper the movement. And as you exhale, following that exhale back in. So find this rhythm. Some of you will be able to, do this movement without thinking about what to do. Some of you may be doing this movement and you're not even aware any longer that you're doing the movement. Kind of in the void. Then letting your heart connect to this high energy emotion of joy. And again, just say, I feel joy. Don't prove it, don't rate it, don't fix a percentage to it. I just feel joy. Feel it throughout your body. Remember that this movement's focus, energetic focus, is on the heart to help move out that depressive energy, to change the information in the body with that word, depressive energy, by using joy, that high energy emotion. Again, just by saying it, I've changed the dynamics in my body without even proving it, submitting a report on it, so to speak. Just by saying it and getting used to that energy. And so for the next minute, again, always let go. Feel that energy of joy. Wonderful. And now bring yourself, keeping your mind and your body quiet and still, to a position that you wish to do, or just a short meditation. And I'll ask Jackie if anyone did send in any thoughts or stories or questions.
Glenn. I will check right now.
Because otherwise, I will move on to...
I do have a comment for you. It's from Deborah Lynn. And she writes in, I love you, Glenn. I am your biggest fan! Exclamation.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Deborah.
So beautiful. Let me see if there's any additional. No, that's your comment. So you can go ahead and continue as you will.
So now, what do I do with my ego?
Your ego, you know, I think you might just have to keep it for a while.
Okay.
That's all right.
So quieting your all's minds down as you find your sitting position. Yeah, find a way you can sit in stillness, not moving your head, the fly that lands in your nose, no matter, the itch, no matter. Just see if you can find your own stillness. Remember, your brain is just noticing, not evaluating or thinking. Again, if it moves out to do that, just bring it back in, just to notice. And here are some things to maybe just let it sift through your body. You know, we live in this world today. That really, it is no different than all the other worlds of the past. They have all been this way. All this chaos and all this fear and all this beauty. The difference is now it's just a little personal for you, what's going on. Not that it's different. So over the years, the world has always been trying to balance or to influence that balance. I've been doing some reading and this little phrase gets stuck in my head. There's always this conflict, this tussle between the angels and the healers and the sorcerers and the demons. You know, the difference of energies, the different forms of energies. And over the years, how the worlds perhaps have been maybe more visible in terms of the demons and the sorcerers doing their work, and at times maybe the angels and the healers. but it's always this way. And perhaps our task is to help balance that energy. So the angels and the healers, they strive for the ideal in all of us, finding the depth, finding the connection with others. The sorcerers and the demons, they offer shortcuts, and they take power from people's weaknesses. So often, just in your mind, you notice images of what demons look like, as if they've been painted with masks or forms, monsters, so to speak. Just forms of energy. And it's really not that there are monsters roaming about. Rather, things are just out of balance. And just like with that chain in the lock, you can change the information in those demons, in the community. You can raise that information to a higher level. After all, the sorcerers and the demons play with other information and other levels of energy. And within your meditation now, the images you might have about demons is to realize you can transform that. There have always been age-old demons of greed, power, deceit, self-importance, cruelty. They have all been around for a very, very long time. They are forms of energy with information. There may be personal demons that you have. Maybe fears take a form. Or maybe even complacency, a laziness about connecting with life. And in old time stories, it's like these monsters, they come down from the mountains to snatch the villagers. They're just stories of energy out of balance. And so in your practice, in your life, in your activism with Spring Forest Shikong, can you find a way to be in the midst, so to speak, of the demons, of these forms of energy that have defined things in a certain way, that the pain and suffering has been chained in a way with a lock. Change the information, changes the demon. I remember I shared this before, a long time ago when I was a much younger man. I had developed these two questions in my life. And one of the questions was, if the world is so bad off, how come it's not worse? And I think it's because people like you place themselves in the midst of others and change so quietly, so lovingly, the information, the energy. And that other question I had was, how far separate is the creator from the creation? And the demons work at separating the creator from the creation more and more, with fear, with deceit, with greed. However, people like you, who stand in the midst of the demons, help everyone to realize there is no separation between creator and creation. The God in us, the God around us, the energy in us, the energy all around us, we really are all one in this beautiful healing way. So if Spring Forest Shikan for individuals is focused on healing and balancing, transforming, looking for individual health. Remember that little kind of understanding, you know, the energy body is within the physical body. If the energy is balanced well, then the physical body is balanced well. And if the energy body is somehow imbalanced, then it shows up in the physical body. In some way, that's kind of like producing demons inside of us. You know, that imbalancedness of the energy turns into, I hate to say harming our body, but creating demon-like irritations or challenges that we can transform, we can change around. So if the energy in the community, the neighborhood that you live in, or the organization that you're connected to or wish to be connected, is the same way, if that energy in the community is balanced, then the community, you know, loves well. But when the community's energy gets mixed with the demons of hatred or prejudice, poverty, then the demons almost take real form. And it seems as if things are so horrible. But as you know, you put yourself in the midst of that community with the energy, with that unconditional love energy, just by changing the energy balance, changes how the community works with each other without having to run the committee, without having to run for office, without having to challenge someone or eliminate someone or go to battle in some way. Just your presence makes the difference in relationships with others. Like that story I told you about Tom in the bar. Not losing or lowering your energy down to another's lower level of energy and pain. Is of finding some way to re-enter, connecting the community with your own high level of energy. But in this kind of informative, perhaps, meditation. Does your practice, does your leadership, has it become more of a withdrawn reclusiveness where you will sit in your own silence, in your own mindfulness, for your own benefit, which is beautiful? However, has your leadership or practice not gone to the chains and locks, not gone to the demons that are in your community, whatever form of energy they may take, that perhaps you have not gone to be in the midst of that? So neglecting activism in your life perhaps is imbalancing a relationship you may have to the larger community, to your family maybe, but also to your neighborhood, to organizations who are helping with others. So just as in nature, with the crashing flow of a river or the force of movement, activism is not necessarily taking over. It is changing the information. So have you in your own practice or in your own leadership been withdrawing to the safety of being uninvolved? Have you diminished the challenge of an engagement within any circle of influence that you may have? Has there been a sense of complacency in your practice? So activism isn't marching and rioting. Activism is a life of love, of simplicity, of contentment, of reaching out. It is to align yourself for the life force. The life force is the center of everything. It is the original nature. It is the truth. Activism in this manner is activity that you can do with such ease and softness. You're not forsaking, we're not grasping politics, acquiring things or positions, or being aggressive just for your own self-indulgent forms. You're involved in the midst of it all just by your very presence. Activism, in a way, is fighting back, holding back from having hope. In a way, hope is a motion where you are desiring change, and it can trap your thinking. It can distract you from what is important. Sometimes that language of hope starts forming some kind of demon, in a way, that there's a belief that evolves into thinking that the world is full of victims, full of villains, full of heroes, full of demons, all these kinds of forms of beliefs that maybe help bring us out of balance, rather than that the world is full of love that we have forgotten to be connected with. So our activism in the community, in the neighborhood, honors the way our practice is tested. To have this sense of activism, yes, you do need courage and conviction. Otherwise, the social conditioning that is all around us, that brings us one against another, divides us. One is right, one is wrong, one is good, one is bad. All those kinds of divisivenesses. So having the courage and the conviction not to get caught up in that social conditioning of opposition, but to find yourself in the midst of all that in a loving and kind way that will automatically change the level of energy. So activism, again, is like a life of humility, just being genuine, not trying to be more than who you are, and not being less than who you are, not wanting others to be like you, just wanting them to be like them. So it is to go about your purpose of activism, to transform the community that's around you. So in this loving practice of yours, your activism isn't seeking power over others to foster change, or getting pulled into the relentless power of social greed or fear or force, all these demons, but changing the information that's in all of these. And then change occurs in a flowing way. So instead of aggressively changing the community to accomplish certain kinds of goals or changes, nurturing and cultivating our own stillness and nourishing our own activism to develop powerful and effective action within the neighborhood, within the community. What will happen, you'll find out that to live this way is living counter to almost every socially accepted norm. because we're taught to do something, to change something, to have power, to move things around, that balance between angels and healers, sorcerers and demons, as opposed to being who you are, your original nature, without force or persuasion. Your activism in this way, in the midst of the community, just deepens the community. And that they too will find their own way. And in these efforts of your activism, it deepens creativity, it deepens flexibility. You don't establish new rules or forms to control others by. They're not created. You begin to find a way that everyone trusts their own body's intelligence. They call on it, that intelligence, to guide them with loving and powerful insight. We know then how to flow deeper than our anger and our desire for change in order to make a difference in the world around us. So as we stay in this stillness inside of us, our minds can float also to the stillness in the communities around us, in the neighborhoods in which we live. We can gently observe the chains and the shackles and the locks that others find themselves in, and how your loving kindness changes the information into the higher level of energy so people can go about how they wish to live their life. You can find a way to live in the high life of physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You cannot lose your level of energy to help in the pain and suffering of others. You will not go down to their level. You will help them rise up to yours, just as the masters ask you to rise up to theirs. So to balance that private, individual practice of stillness with the loving activism of being in the midst of your community and your neighborhood, to balance out the healing in the demons, just to live in a genuine way of loving life. So those of you that wish to continue in your meditation, to let your minds just drift into noticing how you go about change, how you go about loving your community, about being in the midst, by being deep inside you, confident, strong, clear, about changing information. So just stay in your place. Meditate as long as you wish. Otherwise, those of you that wish to stop at this point, bring your focus to your lower dantian. See that small energy ball, then be in your lower dantian. Take 3 slow, gentle deep breaths. And massage the palms of your hands. And gently massage the face, bring up the fingertips to the bridge of the nose, to the forehead, out to the cheeks, and down to the chin. Do that a few times. And then rub the ears, top to bottom. And then we'll stop here. Those of you, again, that wish to continue quietly in your meditation, please do. Those of you who are off to do other things, Remember the love that you have for each other and how the love in the community, in a quiet and subtle way, changes the way people live. And remember, I love you for that as well. Good night.